and welcome to the Big Happy Life podcast. I'm Natalie Britt, and this week I'm joined by Kirsty Kamarauskas, who is a seven-figure CEO, success coach, and law of attraction mentor. And she helps business owners and entrepreneurs take their businesses to the next level by addressing limiting beliefs and mindset issues that are holding them back from implementing strategies that could actually take their business to the next level. This episode is one of a few in a series that will be peppered throughout this season's podcast, which is focused on business owners at the early stages of business who are looking to progress the business to become revenue generating at a level that is, at the moment, feeling like it's beyond what's possible. So the figure we're looking at is 100K, and we're saying, well, what are the habits that you need to get you to that first 100K? And as part of the series, I've spoken to several business owners and entrepreneurs to talk about, well, what were the habits that you needed to engage in? What were the habits you needed to stop so that you could take your business to the next level? That's what I'm talking to Kirsty about in this episode. So if you are a business owner and you want to figure out how to get to your big revenue goals, then this episode is for you. Let's dive in. So Kirsty, thank you so much for joining me. I am really excited to talk to you as part of the series about the habits that you need in order to keep going towards your revenue goals. I've titled the series, The Habits That Will Get You to Your First 100K, but I know for a lot of people, the money isn't that big a deal. And for some, you know, they intend to earn more. So it's really, what I really want to do is talk to entrepreneurs and business owners who have successfully navigated the long-term journey from starting out with just an idea to building something that they can earn an income off and live the life that they planned to by starting the business in the first place. So welcome. Thank you for joining me. As a seven-figure business owner, I am really looking forward to hearing about some of the things you have been through, some of the things you've experienced, and some of the particular habits that you have engaged in that have helped you navigate that journey. To start with, though, can you tell us a little bit about what you do, about your business itself and how it came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I am really, really excited to be here talking to you and your listeners as well. So thank you, Natalie. Hello. Yes, my name is Kirsty Kamarauskas, and I had an e-commerce business for several years, and about 6 years ago, I separated from my husband at the time. I'd had my business for a few years, and I moved away with my girls. So we sort of started a new life, not that far away, but started a new life together. And at that point, I was thinking, I really need to look for another source of income, maybe just, you know, create some more financial security, because anything could happen with this business at any point. So I went sort of down a few rabbit holes into the personal development world, learning some things, trying some new business ideas, doing all this stuff, and nothing was working. The business itself was fine, but nothing else that I was trying was working, and I couldn't get my head around why not. I had no idea. So I just kept trying to take courses, do different things, try different things, but I wasn't getting the results. So that led me on to just trying really, really hard and getting really, really down on myself. As you know, I'm a success coach and a law of attraction mentor. So I was learning about law of attraction at the time too. And what I started realizing was that whatever was happening outside of me, I was kind of creating myself too. And I understood about mindset, and I was being positive, and I was listening to Abraham Hicks all the time, and I had a morning routine. But what I hadn't done was go deeper into the subconscious. I hadn't gone into my belief system. I hadn't really done any work on my identity, who I was, to see how that was playing out in my life. And of course, law of attraction is very much linked up to your subconscious. So I hadn't done that part, because at the time I kind of knew about it, but it felt like I should be doing. And that was the most important thing I needed to do, was just take action, because that's what we're told, right? Just take action, bold action. But I was doing it from beliefs that were severely limited. I was doing it from a place that I thought, by doing this on my own, I'm going to be a failure. I can't do this. You know, I had no idea any of that stuff was going on. So anyway, then because all this stuff was going on inside of me and sort of percolating, then our business started declining in sales, and it had been absolutely fine for years. And then all of a sudden it started declining in sales. So we were 30% less sales. It was quarter four. So it was meant to be our busiest time of year as e-com. And it just started declining every single month at a rapid rate, to the point that we weren't getting paid now. So all of my fears I had somehow manifested to becoming true. Like, the business was going down, nothing else was working. I was losing money and I was, you know, having to live off my savings. And it was at this point that I think I was being really pushed into recognizing that it was the inner work that I needed to start doing now, because it was literally the only thing I had left. I had nothing else left. I'd tried all these things outside of me. So I went deep. I signed up for a course and went deep on my mindset into subconscious. I learned about my subconscious mind, my beliefs, my identity, my self-image, and, you know, thoughts and how this all works. And I went deeper into law of attraction too. And within just a few weeks of doing this work and shifting, just completely shifting my mindset, completely shifting inside of me at emotional and an energetic level as well, things started changing outside. And our results, our sales, our monthly sales started showing a slight incline. And then within about 3 months or so, they doubled. And then within about 5 or 6 months, they tripled. So obviously I was having to take action, but it all started off by me stopping the action at first, going inside of me to see how was this playing out. And as as someone that specializes in habits, you know, the power of the mind and the beliefs and the subconscious in, you know, how much that's controlling what you do. So yeah, we started doing different things because we were thinking from a new level. We started doing different things. We signed up with a brand new coach, and we'd never had a coach before. Started following a new system, which felt aligned and intuitively the right thing for us to be doing. And then everything just sort of escalated, and we managed to hit our, what happened was when we were at make or break, we decided instead of just trying to survive, we're going to set £1 million sales goal for 12 months. So within 12 months, we wanted to get £1 million sales, and we'd never done that before. So we were really, you know, we were going, we didn't just want to survive. We wanted to hit an astronomical goal that felt impossible. And we actually did it. And it took 14 months to get there, but we actually did it. So all of this led me to really understanding the power of the mind behind our business. Like, our mind is controlling everything, really. You know, it keeps us small. It's filled with limitations and beliefs and things that we don't even know are there. It's the driver for fear and doubt. And when we let these things play out, then we're not going to show up how we need to in our business. And we're not going to do the things that we know our business needs to. And we're not even going to have access to the ideas and the solutions that are going to help us on our journey, because we can get so stuck on the problem. And that's where we had been for a few months before we completely shifted how we saw things. So that's what led me on to doing this work and becoming a coach, because I wanted to help empower other people to start shifting their results, even doing the same things, but doing it from a new state of mind.
Wow. So I have a lot of questions off that. To start with, you've mentioned we. So were you in partnership with someone else or a group?
Yeah, I was in partnership with someone else, and we'd had the business for a few years already.
Okay. And how did the other person's mindset, shift alongside yours? Was that work you had to do together?
Yeah, some of the work we did together, a lot of it was me. And then because we were so close anyway, sort of everything that I was learning, they were feeding off of as well. So it really was, it was definitely a journey together. And I'll come on to some of the specific things we did when you ask. But yeah, we were having to do these things together. And I think just from me, I had to completely change how I was thinking. So I couldn't any longer look at the problems. I couldn't any longer say, we're losing, we're going down. You know, I decided to just lead every conversation we had with £1 million. We've got £1 million. We've got to add. Like, we've hit £1 million now. So how do we feel? What are the different conversations we'd be having? What's the energy like between us? What are the different ideas? What are the different actions we're going to be taking from this stance? And they got really, really involved with that. They really, really liked that. So we sort of did that together.
Okay. you know, you've sort of with that actually answered my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Because one of the things I listened to a lot of mindset stuff when I started my business, and brutally honestly, I found it infuriating because I was like, I do believe in myself. I do have confidence. I know I can do this. It's still not bloody working. So, like, what am I doing wrong? So I guess the question I want to ask is, if somebody feels like their mindset is already positive, like they feel like they're doing all the right things and they're thinking in the right way and it's not happening, what might they be missing?
Okay, yep. Well, that's where I was. So I think I said I got into law of attraction. I was listening to positivity all the time. I was thinking more positive. I was even meditating in the morning and doing gratitude. I was doing the things that they tell you to do. So I did feel happier. I was, you know, I was feeling different, but what I hadn't addressed was what was in my subconscious that's creating the results, but that's creating the problems, that's really, really holding me back. So what's creating these fears? What are these deep-rooted beliefs I've got about myself and about whether I'm capable? And that's when I discovered that I didn't think I was capable. I realized by doing, I refer to this as self-image work, but I know some people are more familiar with identity, but really going into how I saw myself and journaling on it. What do I believe about myself? Like good and bad, the pretty, the ugly, you know, the weaknesses, the strengths. Like, let's be brutally honest with myself because no one else is listening. What do I really feel deep down? You know, and a lot of this then comes down to there's this whole thing of worthiness, isn't there? Mm-hmm. When we start really digging deep, and it's like, do we actually, some of us are scared of success because we worry that when we get massively successful and we have all this money, people are going to want it from us. Our family is going to reject us. People are going to judge us. So it's getting down into the nuts and bolts and saying, like, am I somehow stopping this from myself? What am I scared of if it does happen? You know, what are the beliefs that are stopping me from acting in a way that could create this? Right. So it's not the surface level positive thinking. It's what's really going on in here, because our mind is just a program and it's being controlled. Everything we're doing, all our behavior, as you know, is being controlled by this program.
Okay.
So we need to go in and start replacing this program, which is, you know, replacing our beliefs, not just saying, I've seen this affirmation and someone told me if I said that, it's going to change my subconscious. It's not about that. It's about, right, well, what do I really believe? What do I need to believe? What's making me believe? How can I challenge that? I have this belief busting script that I take my clients through that has 9 steps to it. So it's not just a case of putting a plaster over the wound with an affirmation. It's, well, let's just untangle this belief. Let's see if we can make it a lot weaker first, because a belief's like a table with 4 legs, right? And you just, as soon as you start challenging it and finding evidence to prove it's not true, like one of those legs will come off and then another one will come off and then soon the table falls. But we need to show our subconscious the real truth, right? So, but we need to go in and figure that out and actually see what's going on in there first.
Okay. So if somebody's listening to this, and they think, how do you challenge your mind with your mind?
When it comes to beliefs?
Yeah, like, well, first of all, I would imagine a lot of people don't know that they have limiting beliefs. Or if they do know, they don't know exactly what they are or where they are.
Absolutely. Or how to find them. The easiest thing to do, the easiest way to find out is to ask yourself, and again, just be honest and journal, what do I want and why don't I have it yet? And then all the reasons are our beliefs, and they start off surface level. Like, you know, it could be there's too much competition. I haven't found my niche, you know, but even in those, well, if we are running off that belief, then that's going to be impacting what we're doing. It might be preventing us from moving forward in our business because we feel like we have to be more niche, or it's affecting how we come across because we've got this idea, even though we're trying to create a post and reach certain people, we're sat there thinking, yeah, but I haven't found my niche and it's not going to work. And it really affects the language and the energy that goes out and how it then gets interpreted from the other person. So it just affects everything. So if we say, what do I want? Say my goal is 100K for the year. Why haven't I got it? And then we just journal, and you know yourself, like when we just allow ourselves to take pen to paper and we write, and we could write 20 reasons, it makes us go really, it allows the subconscious stream to come through. So actually what's really in our mind that we're not consciously aware of, because it's only a small part of our mind, will then start to come out. And sometimes it can surprise us. And sometimes things come out that we're like, what? That might have been something I believed when I was 7, but I don't believe it anymore. And in an instant, we've let go of that belief that was subconsciously affecting our behavior all those years, but we didn't know it was there.
Okay.
So why haven't I got there yet? What's stopping me from doing it? And often we'll say things like, you know, maybe I'm not clever enough. I can't do it. If I can't do it is a belief that's inside of us, then how is that impacting every action we take? Is it leading to procrastination, overwhelm, overthinking? You know, chasing every shiny penny, thinking that that person's going to help us, that person's going to help us, because we believe that we can't do it. So we haven't got that level of faith in ourselves or trust in ourselves yet.
So if I was asking those questions, so what do I want and why don't I have it? You mentioned earlier about, like, you had to put yourself in the mindset of, I already have it.
Yeah.
We're earning a million. It's happening.
Yeah.
What does that feel like? What am I saying to myself? Yeah. And you kind of described almost making that future reality a reality now.
Absolutely.
How do those two practices work together? So if I'm going to start by saying, well, why don't I have it? That's going to take me into the lack mindset, isn't it? Because it's going to take me into the space where I don't have it. And here are all the reasons why I don't have it, which is going to magnify them in my mind. How do I get from there to placing myself in this future reality where...
This is all part of the work. So they are both important pieces of the work. So you can do it either way. When I lead my clients through this, we say, right, what is your goal? A massive goal, a breakthrough goal that's going to change you and enable you to grow. Who do you need to be? Now, what are those beliefs? Why aren't you there already? Why don't you think you can do it? What are those beliefs that are in the way so that we can start working through them? Or we can say, what's the goal? What are the beliefs? What do I need to let go of so that I can then start to step into this new version? What's her new beliefs? So the old beliefs, we have to do that work. Like, we have to start challenging them. We have to start looking in our lives for instances of it not being true, because a belief is just... it's just a thought, right? It's just a thought we keep thinking over and over again. It's not actual fact. It's not truth, as in the sun comes up every day and goes down every day. The tide goes in and out. That's truth. A belief is a perception. It's an idea of something and it can be shifted. But we think it's our actual fact. We think it's so true. We just think that's the way it is. So unless we go in and we start identifying what they are and then picking them apart, we can never act past or see through that belief, because it's filtering all the information that's coming into our mind all day, every day. It's, you know, we're filtering our life and experiencing our life through that belief. So we need to be able to see it and then start challenging it. And then once we start challenging it and we start pulling it apart and we see evidence where it's not true, we then need to, that's where the affirmations come in. Then we need to reprogram our mind and start creating new neural pathways to create a new truth. But the biggest piece of this is that in doing that, you also have to take action from that new belief. You have to combine the new belief thought and an action or a habit from that new belief for you to be able to release that old belief. Because then it becomes truth, because you're showing your subconscious the evidence that this is real now.
It goes back to that saying, I can't remember who said it, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah.
So it's about creating everyday things. I love that, because that's, I guess, the intersection between the mindset work and the habit work. I've found this in my life too, of like, who do I need to be in my business to get it to fly?
Yeah.
And a lot of the habits that I've embedded in my life in terms of looking after my health and, you know, making fresh juices in the morning and getting up early so that I can meditate and exercise and write, those are all things I associate with the person I believe
absolutely
will get my business moving and is getting my business moving and has gotten it moving. But they are unrelated to work, but they fulfill the identity that I think makes the difference, because certainly, you know, what you described about, like, you get a little bit down the road, you do something, and then you think, oh, I've got the wrong niche or whatever, like that little thought gremlin comes in and says, you're doing it wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever version that is. And you stop, exactly. Right? It's like, and the more times you do that, the more legs you give the table, I'm guessing. So the more legs you've got to break
The stronger those legs are. Yeah. And because we're just, all we're doing every time we do that is reinforcing the old limiting belief, the old paradigm, which is controlling everything that we're willing to do and show up. And so this is so intrinsically linked to habit work, because everything starts off as the thought, right? So, and go on.
No, I was just going to ask, did you have an identity in mind? Did you have a statement that said, like, this is who I need to be?
Yeah, I wrote her out. So I decided exactly who she was. I, you know, what she, I visualized. I practice visualization a lot. I do it with my clients. I think it's so, so powerful, because it's our way of going to that future version of us. And it's our way of tapping into our intuition. And because if we just sat here with a piece of paper, we're like, how do I know who she is? Like, I'm not there. How on earth could I possibly know? I know that that person over there is doing that, and that's what I want to do, and she's like that, and I know that person, but I don't know who I am. And we can so easily go to our minds, get quiet, go to our future, you know, go to that point where we've achieved everything that we want to achieve. We have to get clear on what that is first, otherwise this doesn't work as well. We have to get clear on what we want, and then we go to that place of the point of the end result where we've achieved everything, and we just start to notice what's different. We'll play out some scenes. I do guided meditations. So we'll play out some scenes celebrating something, you know, who's with you, where are you? You imagine this amazing house you're in, the car, the holidays, you know, whatever it is, who's around you. And then you start noticing who you are, like, what's different about you? How are you thinking? What are your new beliefs? What are the beliefs that got you here? And when you follow guided visualizations, they get you in that quiet place where your ego mind or your analytical mind isn't like, I don't know, you know, you're quiet and relaxed, and it's just coming up for you. So you can create your future you from that and get an idea of it, and then you look at the other people that are doing what you want and notice the difference between their habits, your habits, their actions, your actions, their thoughts, their beliefs, the way they carry themselves, the energy that they have in their posts, the energy they have in their photos. You know, what is it that I believe will help me hit this goal? And again, knowing that we're not becoming someone else, and we're not picking things off other people. It's, if we see something in someone else, it's because it's in us already. It only resonates if we have it inside of us already. It's just, we've told ourselves, or our experience so far has told us so for so long, that we can't do it, or we're not that, but we can only ever see in others what we have in ourselves. Otherwise we couldn't see it. It wouldn't resonate.
Yeah.
So we get to choose these qualities, these characteristics. What is it? And then we start to embody them. And this itself is a habit with a multitude of habits. And you could say, right, this week I'm going to start with one belief from a future self and one action, and I'm going to do it until they are part of me. And then I'm going to pick another belief and another action. And then you see that starts to snowball. But it's just ultimately, like, it's just imagining us being that person. The more we can imagine it, just, we don't even have to visualize all throughout the day or anything like that. It's just, I could just sit there and just imagine me putting out this post and a million people liking it, or whatever, you know, whatever the goal is. And you just imagine it. So you're making it a possibility in your own mind. And then you just imagine what it feels like, you know, and you're just putting yourself in a different state. Tony Robbins always talks about shifting state, doesn't he? To shift your mind, shift your emotions. And this helps you. You're using your mind to get there, but you're ultimately just choosing a different state for yourself. And then suddenly you get an inspired idea. You know, the ideas when you get, when you're in the shower or dog walking or whatever it is. And it's like, boom, because you've just opened your mind up to possibility instead of being stuck in the problem of I can't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I developed the BSET behavior change model, and the S is state. So in that SET set point, that is state. Do you have any suggestions, any things that you reliably do to help you change state?
Oh yeah. And again, this is something I'd get all of my clients to do, is the beauty of this work, the beauty of personal growth and mindset, is you make your own rules. So One thing I'd say, because I know you said before, you know, you got really frustrated listening to all the things, doing all the things, nothing working, is not to get caught up in the fact that there's a right way, that things have to be done perfectly. Like, the goal is for you to feel different and for you to think different. So whatever works for you is perfect. And this is where we start tapping into ourselves and trusting our intuition to guide us more, because we all have an inner coach that can take us exactly where we want to be if we allow it. So that itself is a practice, and we can develop that by listening. So when it comes to changing state, I have different things. So it depends where your mindset is at the time, because you could have got yourself, and this is so normal for anyone listening to this, it's so normal to get ourselves into states, and it's absolutely fine, and there's no shame or judgment around it. But if we're really down, if we've got ourselves down to a low state or a frustrated state, different things are going to work. So we always want to try and catch it in the early stages. But say if I was angry or annoyed or frustrated, then going to the gym or going for a run might be really good for me. And it's just completely clear. And I'm sure all the listeners totally relate to different things like that. You know, it doesn't have to be a mindset thing. It's a, right, how can I just stop, shift, and then come back and start again afterwards? Mm-hmm. It could be something more soulful or spiritual, like a salt bath or a meditation or a visualization. It could be dancing in the kitchen with your favorite tunes on, being silly. It could be being silly with your kids. It could be journaling. It could be, you know, all sorts of different things. It could be mirror work, saying affirmations to yourself in your mirror. If you're feeling doubt, just taking that upstairs, and just, you know, in your power pose, just feeling strong and giving yourself a talking to. So it's an exploratory process, and it's just about finding what works with you, what resonates with you, and what actually makes the difference, mm-hmm. rather than just ticking something off because someone told us. Gratitude, just taking a moment to say, do you know what, I feel really bad, so I can't really feel grateful about my life right now, but I've just poured this cup of coffee and it tastes amazing, and I'm really grateful for my coffee. Mm. Like, I'm actually really grateful for the seat I'm in, and I know there's people around the world starving and having to walk to wells for water, and I can actually really appreciate that I've got a glass of water in front of me and I just had to turn on the tap.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, again, it's that general to specific thing. Like, if we're really, really low, then we want to be general. But if we're feeling all right and we just need to pick me up, then we're like, yeah, I'm a seven-figure entrepreneur. I can do this, you know, and start dancing.
Yeah.
So it's just getting to know ourselves, which is what this work's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is, I think, certainly in my experience, that part was something I didn't know how to do. Like, everything that we have done culturally, certainly in the Western world, is about disconnecting from ourselves. We eat way more than our bodies need. We eat things that bloat us. We lie to be kind of getting a sense of belonging rather than say, no, I don't like that, or I don't agree with you. We're like, mm-hmm, yeah, oh, that's really funny. You know, of all kinds of ways we deny ourselves, pretend and cover up, or just ignore what our bodies are telling us in order to get through. You know, we work all hours, we don't sleep, all those kinds of, like, these cultural things are fairly standard. So the reconnection with ourselves, I think, is probably at the baseline of the mindset work. Is like, if you're disconnected from yourself, you can't think your way out of anything, because you don't actually really fully know who you are.
I love that. That is such a powerful conversation. Because it really is everything. And even, you know, I created this seven-figure version, all the rest of it. But actually, that seven-figure version is already inside of me. And by all the things you've just said, by not doing those things, it would naturally rise, because we are all powerful. We're all here to be successful. We're all here to be loved, to be light, to enjoy our lives. Like, we have so much power. So if we can layer away the beliefs, the conditioning, all this stuff, then all of a sudden we're just going to rise anyway. And I just love what you said, because we practice not being ourselves. And actually, it's the more we tap into ourselves and become ourselves, that's when we're going to find our success in our way and hit the goals that we want and create the life that we want, because we can be the only, we are the only person that can do that.
Yeah.
No matter whose strategy we follow or what, you know, what actions we take, like, it's about us. And, you know, we've had the conversation before about compassion and self-love, and it just really puts a lot of power into all of this. The more we can connect, the more we love ourselves, the less we judge, the more we listen to our intuition, the more guided we are by something inside of us that's bigger than us, that before was just shut out because we didn't think we were good enough or deserving enough or worthy, or that we could do it because we've never done it before. So yeah, that's powerful.
It's every time I have these conversations, it gets me thinking about another layer of this work. And I think that's partly what makes it so difficult to lay your hands on it fully and properly understand it. Because what you were just saying there made me think about how, like, a lot of the things that potentially hold us back are things we're unaware of, things from childhood. You know, one client that I was working with, she's an incredible coach and really empathic and really open and loving and, you know, provides great work for her clients, but she's struggling in business. But when we delved into past experiences and childhood and, you know, things that she remembers, and I do this through work called heart healing. So it's a sort of meditative, almost hypnosis type of state. She went back to situations where her dad was like, oh, be quiet. No one wants to hear from you. You know, that kind of, what you have to say is not valuable and therefore is unnecessary. And she, although on some level knew that, wasn't aware that underneath everything she was doing was this belief, no one wants to hear from you. You have nothing valuable to say. So she's trying to do all the mindset work and she's trying to do all the stuff. But as soon as she steps into a space where she needs to confidently challenge someone or do something that requires her voice to be heard over others, she stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's probably where mindset becomes really challenging, is because it feels like when you get into that moment, if you can't find the root cause thing, once it's surfaced and it's in the conscious mind, the next time you face the situation, you're like, okay, I know where this is coming from. This is old. This is from when I was a little kid and my dad said that to me. Okay, I'm going to ignore that and I'm going to move through it. But in the absence of the conscious element of it, it's hard to make the choice against it because you can't see or hear it.
Yeah.
You don't even know it's driving the behavior. So do you think this work can be done alone? Did you do a lot of it yourself, or did you have to get help to get into those deep layers?
No, I did. I started off investing in programs. So just learning about this more, investing in programs where I could just follow the instructions and do the work. So it wasn't, you know, coaching as such then. So that's how I continued. And then I got a coach as well, because the coaching obviously helps you with your blind spots. And the very things that you're talking about is, you know, we need someone, an expert, to be able to pull them out of us. And I did healing. I've done some heart healing. So I did that work too. And, you know, I don't really like using the word mindset, because it just doesn't explain what this work is, because mindset is the thing that everyone's struggling with, because they're saying, I've got a positive mindset and nothing's working. But we're really talking about everything below the surface, like our whole being, our paradigm, what's created us into being the person that we are today. And it is just a program, and it's not who we are. Who we are is limitless potential. Like, we are incredible, amazing, powerful beings, but we just have this paradigm, this program. So it's just about replacing that. But that's what this work's all about. And healing is part of that. Healing is part of healing those wounds that are creating the beliefs that are in the paradigm, right? It's about letting go of some of these things, these memories. One of the practices that I like doing, I get my clients to do, is Ho'oponopono. I don't know if you've heard it, the Hawaiian forgiveness practice.
No.
So this is basically, it's an old Hawaiian practice, but it's a spiritual practice. And this Hawaiian psychologist was basically called to a psychiatric prison, I guess. It had loads of criminals in there, done all sorts of really nasty things, very, very violent. There was no help for them. You know, they were just, and it was just a nightmare. Like, they couldn't get enough staff in there. Prisoners were fighting all the time. The staff were leaving all the time. It's just a horrible, horrible place to be. And this psychiatrist was called in there to go and do some work. And he did this Ho'oponopono on them, which is basically a forgiveness prayer. It's I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. So he went into this place and he didn't even meet with the inmates. All he did was look at their charts and he read them and he tapped into how they were feeling. And he started doing healing work on himself with the view that whatever is in our world, this is probably going a bit deep for some people, but whatever's in our world is a projection of our own consciousness. So everything outside of us is a projection of what's inside. So he started doing healing on himself to say, I'm sorry for whatever is in me that's causing this in my outside world. And what happens was this process basically talks to your subconscious mind and gets it to release memories. It's releasing memories that you don't even know are there. You don't need to know what they are. You're not even aware of them coming up half the time, apart from maybe a couple of days later, you'll suddenly think of this thing you haven't thought of for years. And then you think, I've done Ho'oponopono. That obviously held an emotional charge and something in me. And because I've been doing the release work, I can just acknowledge that and let it go, right? It's gone now. Whatever it was causing is gone, you know? So there's all these different, and that's part of healing, right? So there's all these different tools and practices that we can do, that we can tap into, that resonate with us, that feel good to us for wherever we are at that point. It's all about just, you know, YouTube will give you the goods, find something that you think, that's interesting. How can that help me? And then try it out and don't pressure yourself into doing all the things and feeling like you have to fit into a cookie cutter approach. It's, you know, what will help me? So yeah, it's incredible. Like the work we can do on ourselves to just release and let go and become someone new.
Absolutely. And you've mentioned a lot about intuition, tapping into your intuition. That was another thing that I really battled with, because I was like, come on, intuition. Where the hell are you? Like, I'd have to make choices in my business and I wouldn't know. I'd be like, well, they both look the blooming same to me. I don't know which one's right. And I would get so frustrated because I was like, you know, even things like choosing a web host or a podcast provider or things like that. I was like, I don't know. And I was so frustrated because people would be like, I'd listen to things and people would be like, oh, you know, channel your intuition. And I was thinking, you know, for want of a better phrase, golf. Because I was like, I'm trying and I don't know. And again, I think, I mean, this is still ongoing work for me. I'm nowhere near feeling like I have that channel set up where I can just be like, okay, I'm just going to channel my intuition. I hear it and I see it in other people, but I'm nowhere near. And it's still an ongoing practice for me. But the things that I have found made the difference were things. It's almost like you have a relationship with that intuition, with that other that sort of higher version of yourself. And it relies on trust and acceptance and openness. And those have to be cultivated through habit.
Yeah.
Through the things you think and do each day. So where I have found that I'm making inroads is little things I do every day and how I go about them has started connecting me. So as an example, one of the things I exercise every single day. But one of the things that when I first started exercising, it was you must exercise so you don't get fat, you know, that kind of thing. You must exercise because you are fat. Like there was almost like a judgment push of do this thing. I meditated every day because I felt that I was not a patient person. I have a hot temper and that feels like something that's bad to me and therefore must be fixed in me. So I meditated to fix myself. I exercised to fix myself. Mm-hmm. All of these things were like, I am damaged. I must do these things so I am better. And intuition never showed up. Mm-hmm. And what I'm discovering now is, again, a bit like when I do these things for myself, not to myself, it's somehow whatever's between me and intuition lifts out of the way, usually at the moment temporarily. So I have quite a long morning routine. I'm normally up relatively early. I mean, now those activities are just not, they're not things that are required for fixing. They're things I do to just enjoy morning.
Yeah.
And as a result, intuition often rises in those spaces. Yeah. Little things will pop up, little ideas, just moments where the connection feels alive.
Yeah.
I don't really know where I'm going with that.
I love what you've said, everything that you've just spoken about, because I think this is everyone's journey when they start down this road. And what I wanted to talk about first was, and because you're voicing the opinion of many other people as well, is that, you know, first of all, the intention, we do not need fixing, we are not broken, we can't see it at the time, it's a journey and we'll get there to understanding that. But yeah, the idea that we have to do this, one, I have to do this, obligation is not connection. I'm fixing myself, I'm broken, is not connection. It's not acceptance of who we are, it's not just allowing ourselves to be. So at the beginning of it, you were saying, I'm trying so hard, this isn't working, I don't know what to do, all those, you know, having that belief all the time with all the choices in your business. And I had it with myself, and I see it with clients as well, is that's one of the first things that needs to go, is recognizing when we're telling ourselves, I don't know how, all we're doing is reinforcing a belief that we don't know how, and that's going to overplay in our life every single day for every decision we have to make. So the very first thing we can do is say, if it's too hard to say, I do know how, or I can figure it out, we just say, I might not know right now, but I'm figuring it out. I can definitely figure this out. So we just change it slightly and stop telling ourselves that we can't, because then we're blocking the intuition, we're blocking our gut feeling. And when we talk about intuition, we all have it. We've all experienced it many, many times. It's just giving it a word and a status, you know, in personal development. What's the gut feeling? Like, we always have gut feelings. Our gut's telling us that person's not our kind of person, or there's something wrong. Our gut's telling us there's something wrong with the baby, so we go and check. Our gut's telling us, what is our gut telling us? And so that's one place that people feel it, in the gut. And the other's the heart. Like, what does my heart tell me? Like, we don't, you know this better than anyone, we don't give our heart enough, I can't think of the word. We don't acknowledge it enough for what it's capable of telling us. There's so much wisdom in there, mm-hmm. and it's guiding us, and it's part of our connection. When we think with our head, we're using our rational mind. So our beliefs are involved, our ego's involved, like everything that everyone thinks of us is involved. But when we go down to our heart center and we just think, what feels like the right thing to do? And this is how I help my clients, is we don't want to think about the answer. We want to feel the answer, and feeling is intuition. And the more we try, the more we block everything out of us, because we're trying, but it's there already. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. We are there. It's part of us. It's we are us. So it's just about getting more present, getting more calm. If we can't think of the answer and we don't know the answer, instead of getting frustrated and blaming ourselves, we can go for a walk. We can go and make a cup of tea. We can go and have a shower. We can go and just get up and do something different. Yeah. But first, say to our subconscious mind, I'll figure it out. I know I've got the answer in there somewhere, and let it go. Yeah. And then bang, something pops in.
Yeah.
Because it's less like we try and make it this thing that we have to have all the time. We've got it all the time, but we need to allow it to just pop in when it wants. And for me, it's showers. It's the morning routine. Oh my God, flooded with inspiration, because we start our mornings that way before, you know, we're not looking at the news. We're not looking at social media. We haven't got a pile of information flooding into our minds. We're getting up and we're starting with meditation centered, quiet. So, oh my goodness, the ideas. I mean, it sounds like you're the same. I could just write a book in the morning. It's just like, whoa, it's all coming in. I'm so clear. This is amazing. Yeah. Then we go about our day, and our ego gets involved. Our conscious mind gets involved. We're analyzing, we're labeling, because it's just what our mind does. And that's fine. But then we can't hear, like there's a bit too much clutter. So when I walk my dogs, often I could be listening to a podcast or anything, and then bam, I've just had an idea for something that I want to launch or whatever. And it's just like, just knowing and trusting that it will come. And if we can stay open to the belief that it's already there and it will come, but it's not something we can make happen. It's something that comes, and the more it comes and we notice it and build evidence for ourselves, then we start to trust more and we start to believe it more. It's like creating new beliefs. It is a new belief, I suppose, for many people.
Yeah.
So it's like, just notice, become aware, and then just be like, I'm getting, my intuition is getting stronger and stronger every day. Yeah. And just noticing, and then it does. And then you can say, right, what do I feel like? I feel like this is the right thing, even though everything in my mind is telling me it's the other thing. Because that's the other thing about it, right, is that a lot of the time it doesn't make any sense. We're being guided to do something that feels wacky or just doesn't make any common sense to us at all. And as we learn to trust it with small things at first, we learn that it's taking us somewhere so much quicker and faster.
You've just made me think about something that I haven't articulated this way before. Intuition is physical. It's not mental. Like, you feel it, which means when, you know, all the stuff that I talk about with regards to habits and so on, like, if your body is in a dysregulated state because you haven't managed stress, or you're, I don't know, overeating, drinking, any of the things, any of the habit stuff, your intuition will be off. It might explain why mine was so off, because when I got stressed, I ate, and in the evenings I drank, and whether I was hungry or not, it didn't matter. It was my way. So I had to squash my body's information saying, please stop feeding me. I don't want any more food. And I'd be like, shut up, more Maltesers. In the gym, my body would be going, please stop, this hurts. And I'd be like, shut up, you're fat, keep going. Always squashing. So in that space, if you think about intuition being like, it is always going to have a feeling component. It's always going to have a physical element. If you don't have a connection with your body, a respectful connection with your body, you're probably not going to be able to tap into your intuition. So you're not going to feel that sense of safety in, you know, basic everyday decisions where you can go, I can relax into this, because the stress is going to potentially rise in your body. If you're like me, you're going to medicate that stress with something that's going to break the connection.
Yeah.
And that cycle will likely continue. I've never really, even though I've thought about it, I've never strung those things together in that exact way before. It sort of dropped another piece of the puzzle in for me. So thank you for that.
Amazing. You're so welcome. And, you know, what you're saying about the physical side, the feeling, like when we get those urges, that also becomes physical, doesn't it? So that's our body. We can get really confused if we're not listening carefully for what is, like, our body's saying, but I really feel like I need X, Y, Z, whatever the thing that we don't need is. And there's this little voice at the back saying, but you don't need it. But we can't, you know, it's which one we're tuned into. And it also comes as knowings. So, you know, it does actually come out as thinking, doesn't it? It comes into the conscious mind as a thought, but it starts, it's a feeling. It's sometimes a knowing, like, I just know this, but I don't know why. Like, I don't know. That fit, but again, that comes down to gut feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And these little nudges, these little urges is another one I like to call it. A little urge to go and do something, which again is feeling, right? I've just got this feeling, this urge to go to the coffee shop, and I don't know why. And then you go there and you bump into someone that you haven't seen for ages. And it's just, again, your intuition guiding you to do these things. But it often takes you out of your comfort zone, and it often feels scary, and it often feels counterintuitive. So it's a practice, but we start with the little things, like, what do I feel in my body? What is my body telling me that I need? If I can just ignore any cravings and recognize cravings as cravings, like, what's my body telling me? What's my heart telling me?
Yeah. So I'd probably summarize all of that by saying the things we need to do involve cultivating a really good relationship with our bodies.
It's quietening our minds as well.
Yeah.
So that we can actually hear, so that we can open ourselves to receive in the communication.
Yeah.
So again, like, we've talked about presence before, haven't we? But that presence, just being present in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And the quietening of the mind, I think, because the mind is like an overbearing uncle. I've got more to say about this.
I hope your uncle's not watching this.
I don't know why I chose it. I don't even have any overbearing
uncles. Oh, that's why then. So you didn't make it personal.
I have only lovely uncles. but yeah, it's that, the sort of booming voice over everything, where the subtlety of where intuition lies is lost in that space.
It's lost in the noise, yeah. Yeah, completely.
So one last question to ask you then. We've talked a lot about what we need to do, what we need to cultivate in order to kind of get on that journey, keep ourselves going. What would you say is one habit, one thing that you wished you had stopped sooner or changed sooner, and that would have brought you success in an easier, less stressful way?
I think that is negative self-talk. because that in itself is reinforcing all the old beliefs, the negative beliefs. It's stopping us from thinking, you know, because I had the I don't know, I don't know, I don't know thing as well, in amongst a myriad of other ones. So as soon as we can get present to the voice that's going on, our inner critic, and just stop giving it voice, that can change everything. It makes everything possible for us, absolutely everything, because we're stopping treating ourselves like that. So again, it comes down to that self-compassion and self-love and self-acceptance, but just listening out for that inner voice and becoming really, really aware of what it's saying and being willing to challenge it or just let it go. I think that could change the game for everyone.
I love that. Last question. I know I said the last one was the last question. You talked right at the beginning about setting the goal of £1 million and it took you 14 months to hit that. You had to change your mindset. You had to get rid of the negative self-talk in order to do it. What did you actually do practically? Like, how did your business make £1 million in 14 months?
I knew there were things that we weren't doing. So again, this comes down to mindset. I knew we weren't doing email marketing. I tried Facebook ads, but they weren't working. And actually what it transpired as was they were doing pretty well. I just didn't understand Facebook ads. So it's mindset again. So I could have carried on with that and made it work, but I didn't know. So what happened was we ended up stumbling. This is intuition. So as soon as we made that decision, I'd done started on this mindset journey. I haven't stopped on the mindset journey. This is work I do all the time now. But as soon as I felt that shift in how I felt, everything seemed hopeful. Everything seemed promising, even though my outside results were saying, this is terrible. This is a disaster. And then I went to bed one night and something prompted me out of nowhere, intuition, to just go on my phone quickly before I went to bed and have a look in my Gmail junk folder. Like 35,000 emails or whatever in there. Like, why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense. And I went in and there was a email challenge, like an email marketing challenge, 30-day one, from this guy whose group I was in. And I'd been watching him a little while. And it was something that I really wanted to tackle, was email marketing. It was in my mind. So I was just being given this thing. It's like $99 or something for 30 days worth of daily trainings with him. So I'm like, I'm in. And that led us on to sort of being able to set that up, but also going into his coaching program so that he could then give us the how pieces. But the how pieces, you know, we were doing most of it already. It's just we were coming from a different level of mind. And then when you have someone, he did a lot of mindset work as well. So he doesn't, you know, he was always talking about mindset, which massively helped us be able to implement what he was teaching us because we were able to see it in the right way. So that's what we did. We followed his thing, and it won't be for everyone, but it was basically email marketing, Facebook ads, and all sorts of other things. But it really comes down to you showing up as the version that you need to be, tapping into that version, believing that you can be that version. That takes practice. It's okay if you don't believe it straight away. It's practice. It's creating those neural pathways. Mm-hmm. And then the path starts being shown to you. So then you'll get a nudge, you'll get an email, you'll get a Facebook ad pop up that's got someone that's offering a free challenge, or, you know, it's following those nudges, even though you don't know why, and allowing your strategy that's going to be right for you, the tasks, the things, and just allowing it to resonate with you. Because I've done a lot of stuff that didn't resonate, that I tried to force myself to do that never got me anywhere. It's because it wasn't in alignment. It wasn't in alignment with my gifts, my skills, my desires, my, you know, me feeling good. I was feeling resistant and resentful doing these things, but I was doing them out of obligation because I thought I had to. Mm. So, you know, it's all about finding that strategy, allowing that strategy come to you that feels good, that feels aligned, because then that's your intuition telling you this is right for you, instead of your mind going, but you need to be like in 100 Facebook groups doing 100 posts a day. And you're like, but that's just made me lose all my hair and I hate it. It's like, what makes you feel good? And then go all in on that.
Mm.
But be willing to get uncomfortable and be willing to be persistent and consistent, because you got to do something new and it's not going to feel comfortable, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. See, now I have another 100 questions for you, but we'll call it there.
All right.
What I would love to have you on again to talk about, though, is what you've just described is actually very practical business strategy. Yep. But you put it down to mindset. And somebody listening might go, well, no, you had a bit of email marketing strategy and a bit of Facebook ad strategy. So regardless of mindset, you could have made that work. But for you, it feels like mindset.
No, well, we couldn't have made it work because I wasn't doing it. I wasn't doing it until I changed my mindset. I wasn't doing it until I decided that I was going to step into this version of me. And what is she doing? What does her business look like? I was staying small. I was staying safe. So the strategy piece is really important, and I'm not disputing that. But when we have Tony Robbins saying success is 80% mechanics, 80% psychology, 20% mechanics, Bob Proctor, 95% mindset, 5% strategy, it's because we need to be the person that can actually carry that strategy off.
Yeah.
Right. So if I was coming from my lower level, and I'm not even saying that as a bad thing, like my old self-image, my old paradigm, like I wouldn't have been showing up. I wouldn't have been consistent. I would have sent out a random email, said it doesn't work, said this is rubbish. But coming from my new seven-figure CEO self-image that I was embodying, no, I stayed the course. I was consistent. Yeah. Like I had to continue to step up as that person in my mind in order to take any action that was going to get me a result.
I love it.
And it wasn't easy. Mm. And it was, and did have to do a lot of work. I did have to get uncomfortable. I did have to learn a lot of stuff. But had I not built that strong mindset all the way through it, I would have given up. I would have half-assed it. I would have, you know, so unless we are willing to get our minds on board, like 100%, like we're not going to be able to do anything. So that's kind of what I mean. I know I always felt the same as well, but now I understand it and I can see how it's played out in my life. It's like, it is everything, because I could have used another strategy and got the same results. So it's not that strategy that worked. That wasn't the thing. Mm. It was my commitment, determination, and then picking something that aligned with me to go do and go all out in, if that makes sense.
It does, 100%. And you've given me another little piece of the puzzle today as well, because the thing with business is there are ever-present hurdles.
Yeah.
And your mindset determines the grace and ease with which you jump them.
Yeah.
So if you get a strategy, the strategy isn't going to work first time. It never
yep.
does.
Yep.
Or if it works first time, it may not work second time. Mm-hmm. And how you navigate that is going to be determined by mindset. So the absence of mindset work will mean you will fall on your face far more and stay down for longer.
Exactly. You'll get stuck for yeah. longer and longer and longer. You know, we have to be willing to fail forward. And that is a mindset practice. That is a mindset shift.
So there you have it. So much of what it takes to get to that first 100K or whatever your income goal is down to mindset and identity, how you think and feel about who you are, what you're capable of, and how you stay the course. The strategies are so important, but without the mindset, we don't implement the strategies the way we need to. That's certainly been the case in my business. And this conversation with Kirsty gave me so much to think about and so many ways to change what it felt like to do the things I needed to do in my business, one of which is social media, which I hate. And being consistent with social media is such a bugbear of mine. But my mindset, I didn't realize until after this conversation, was one of, well, what difference does it make? Because nobody's reading this stuff anyway. It's a total waste of my time. And that mindset is part of what was making it so difficult for me to show up consistently. But now that I can kind of burrow into that mindset and look at, you know, if I'm going to do this successfully in getting myself to the next level of business, what role is social media going to need to play and how do I need to start thinking about it? And that may change the way I show up and what that does to my strategy when it comes to social media. So I hope this episode has given you a few things to think about in terms of how you implement your strategy and how you show up in your business. And as always, if you have questions, you can reach out to me, Natalie@bighappylife.co.uk. You can also visit the show notes page, which you'll find at bighappylife.co.uk. And that is where you will find all the details you need to contact Kirsty. If you would like to follow her on social media, she's Kirsty Kamarauskas on Facebook and on Instagram. You can find her there also by her name. If you found this episode helpful, please do share it with other business owners who could benefit from listening too. And please do leave a review if you've enjoyed the episode. It really helps to get the podcast to more listeners. For now though, that's it from me. Thanks for listening.